Let's check news. Here's CBS.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A week to go until the election, and former President Donald Trump will make an appearance in Allentown, Pennsylvania, a city with a large Puerto Rican population, as the fallout continues from a comedian's joke at his mega rally in New York Sunday, equating the island to floating garbage. His VP pick, J.D. Vance.
We have to stop getting so offended at every little thing in the United States of America. I'm so over it.
Mr. Trump spoke at a rally in Atlanta.
I'm not a Nazi. I'm the opposite of a Nazi. I don't know.
Vice President Harris addressing young voters in Ann Arbor.
I love your generation. I really do. And one of the things about it is you are rightly impatient for change.
The FBI is investigating fires set at two ballot drop boxes, one in Vancouver, Washington, another in nearby Portland, Oregon. CBS's Nicole Skanga.
A federal bulletin obtained by CBS News assesses that threat actors are likely to leverage claims of election fraud to drive violence before and after the election. Police in Washington State and Oregon say they've stepped up patrols around these ballot boxes, adding that election offices there are safer today than they have ever been before.
Gaza's health ministry says at least 60 people were killed in an Israeli strike on a five-story building housing displaced Palestinians in the northern Gaza Strip. The BBC's Yoland Nell.
We've got rescues at the scene saying that it was local people, displaced people who were killed there. They've got lines of bodies wrapped up in blankets. You can see also that there are still people, bodies in the rubble.
Hezbollah says it's replaced its slain leader, Hassan Nasrallah. The militant group says his longtime deputy, Naim Qassem, will take over. Nasrallah was killed in an Israeli airstrike in Lebanon in September. A bank is suing customers who took advantage of free money. CBS's Stacy Lynn.
The glitch allowed customers to deposit fake checks in ATMs and withdraw the money right away before the checks would clear. The checks later would bounce, but the people held on to the cash. JP Morgan Chase is suing customers they say exploited the technical glitch, accusing them of fraud.
Just in, the highest paid dead celebrities. Michael Jackson's estate tops Forbes' new list, and a TV actor makes his first appearance.
I can't call her. I left the message. I have some pride.
Do you?
No.
Late Friends star Matthew Perry has joined the heavenly list. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the WRJN Radio Park Newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. For the second time in a week, the person seeking to be second in command spoke to supporters at Racine's Memorial Hall. There were similarities with Senator J.D. Vance last night doing the same as Governor Tim Walz, encouraging people to vote early. The differences were in the closing messages of the campaign.
Donald Trump and I want to be president of the whole United States of America. Even if you voted the wrong way or will vote the wrong way in 8 days, we're still going to fight for you and we're still going to fight for your interests.
Vance reiterated a Trump plan to make housing affordable, to eliminate taxes on Social Security, and to deport those in the country illegally. Governor Walz spent part of his Monday in Waukesha getting to know Mayor Sean Riley. He's a former Republican that's endorsed the Harris-Walz ticket. Vice President Harris and President Trump are in the state tomorrow. Former President Bill Clinton's in Milwaukee Thursday. Trump rallies in Milwaukee Friday night. Racine police are investigating a shooting that left a 24-year-old man critically injured early Sunday. Police say it happened after an altercation on Wolf Street near Maine. The victim, who suffered multiple gunshot wounds, was first taken to a local hospital before being flown to Milwaukee for further treatment. A person of interest has been identified. It was in Kenosha that a new statewide student effort was announced. Brittany Merlot has more.
Wisconsin State Superintendent is proposing free meals for all students. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley announced the proposal Friday. With the universal free meals proposal, all Wisconsin students would have access to a nutritious breakfast and lunch for free. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction says 1 in 4 Wisconsin high school students reported hunger due to the lack of food in their home.
And an animal that had been at the Racine Zoo since 1986 has died. The Racine Zoo has announced the passing of Ewell, a 58-year-old gibbon. Ewell far exceeded the typical life expectancy for his species, leaving behind 6 daughters, including Robin. Zoo officials say they made the difficult decision to euthanize Yule earlier this month due to a progressive health decline. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
Bucks lose to the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks were down by 11 with 7 minutes to play, but they couldn't keep up. They lose to the Celtics 119-108 in Boston. The road trip continues in Memphis Thursday night. Packers working on a game plan for the Lions. The NFL Network's Ian Rappaport on Jordan Love's groin injury.
Sources say the MRI came back relatively clean for Jordan Love. It's basically just a groin strain, which is the kind of thing where he's going to get treatment. He's already been getting treatment today, going to get treatment all week.
Matt LaFleur on that report.
So I don't know where that information comes from, quite frankly. And I'm surprised it's coming. I hope it's not coming from inside our building.
College football, the Badgers play the Hawkeyes in Iowa Saturday night, kickoff at 6:30.
Not a whole lot of time, right? You have a night game. I mean, it turns over pretty quick, and now we got to move on. That was probably the biggest message on Sunday, is our ability to kind of regroup and reload, because we got to get rolling.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Runnings in Burlington wants to help you gear up for fall. From power tools and holiday decor to get your yard festive, to hunting gear and accessories for traps, bows, and firearms to keep you in the game all season. Plus, throughout November, for every bag of Kalmbach feeds you buy, Runnings will make a donation to Samaritan's Purse to aid hurricane relief efforts. Stay safe and warm as temperatures drop with everything you need for your home and farm. Stop by today, Runnings in Burlington on Milwaukee Avenue. They're your trusted partner for all your home, farm, and outdoor needs.
It is going to be warm and windy today with near record highs in the upper 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south, gusting to between 30 and 40. Tonight, 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with falling temperatures and a chance of thunderstorms late tomorrow into tomorrow night. We'll drop into the upper 60s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
I have two rules when you come to my house on Halloween. They're pretty simple, man. Wear a costume. Wear a costume, because if you've manned your door, your own house, you know how many kids will roll up 14 years old with no costume and attitude. You know, and you know what I say to those dudes? A dude comes up on my porch like that. I'm like, hey, is this no costume candy giveaway day? I don't think so. Get off my porch before I thump you. Get off. I'm serious. Get off the porch. Come back on no costume candy giveaway day, and we'll do some business then, certainly. But at now, get off. Wear a costume. My other rule, don't grab. Don't grab and run. Don't be Johnny reach and grab. Don't be yanking and pull. Let me assess you. And then design a candy situation for you. I think you'd be pleased.
We had Rory Graves in last week to talk about Haunted Racine, and you had so many news stories, and I had some stuff that we had to bring her back before Halloween, and here you are. But the big news is I just heard you won third place in a costume contest.
Yeah.
Playing Marie Antoinette.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a big slit in your throat where the guillotine, actually, you should have put it in the back of your head, because that's where the guillotine comes down.
True. No one would have seen the back of my head, though, so we had to improvise.
I guess so. People aren't going to say, well, that's not historically correct. Okay, let's talk. For people who didn't hear our interview last week, I want to talk about some of the stuff we talked about. Mm-hmm. What made you get involved with Haunted Racine, and how did you find these stories?
So I have always been into creepy things as a kid. It came naturally to me. Love William Castle, Vincent Price. My parents thought if it was in black and white, it's appropriate. It'll be fine. And in high school, I got the chance to work for Racine Heritage Museum in their archives. I started volunteering and found all these wild stories of Racine history, some of which happened to be paranormal. So I started collecting them on the side while I was going through the archives, and eventually had enough to come up with a blog where I wrote all of these stories. And through that blog, a publisher for the History Press reached out to me and asked if I wanted to write a book for the Haunted America series for Racine, Wisconsin. And I said, absolutely. And that's how Haunted Racine happened.
Yeah, this is, even the cover's spooky. Now, on the cover is a picture of, is that the school?
Yep, Winslow Elementary School.
Oh, that's Winslow. That's right, Winslow Elementary School. You got to tell the story again about Winslow, because this one actually gave me nightmares thinking about it. This one's a real, it wasn't this, it was this, the little children that found the
yeah, thing. Absolutely.
Tell that story.
So, Winslow Elementary School, right behind the old St. Luke's Hospital, which is now Ascension Wisconsin Avenue campus, was actually built on top of an old cemetery. This cemetery was the first one in Racine, the city of Racine, and it was just called the Old Cemetery, very creatively, and had hundreds of bodies buried there. It was within 10 years that they decided, we need another school, and this is a prime location, so let's just move the bodies. They gave people 1 year to get their loved ones out.
Had to move them themselves?
Well, they had to hire someone or do it themselves.
Oh, man. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. And they moved most of them to Mound Cemetery, which everybody knows now. And then some went over to Evergreen Cemetery, the one that fell kind of into the lake.
What year are we talking about, do you know?
This would be 1850.
Oh, this is a long time ago. All right.
I think.
Okay.
Got to refresh my memory on that one. But yeah, it was 1850s, 1860s, so long time. And they apparently did not move all the bodies, because when they built the school, they found some bones. But more importantly, when kids were playing on the playground, they would occasionally dig up bones and find just, you know, little pieces of human remains, to the point where they had this old pump well in the playground, and kids would call the water that came out of the well skeleton juice. And you can find old newspaper articles that reference that. It's creepy, but somewhat morbidly funny.
Oh boy, that's something for show and tell.
Yeah, no kidding.
Hey, I found this femur in the backyard. That's my show and tell for today. That's got to be. And it happened a lot, I guess, if they were finding all these bones back there.
I would assume it had to have been a handful of times.
Now, the school is no longer in use, but the building's there, you say, right?
Yep, the building is still there.
How did you get the picture for the cover? Did you take that?
Yep, I did.
Hey, that is a good, spooky picture you took.
Well, thank you. They did do some editing magic for the moon and the light.
I was about to say, the light.
I took that picture in the daytime.
The building's not being used, but there's a light on.
Mm-hmm.
That is spooky. All right. I have some things here we could talk about as well. We'll get into some more stories, but this is the spookiest time of the year for you, right? This is
Halloween. Absolutely.
This is like your Christmas time.
Pretty much.
All right. They did a survey on what creeps people out the most. 3,000 Americans polled. 3% claimed to be fearless. They're not afraid of anything. That means 97% of us are spooked by something. And that's a lot of people. The number one fear, death. Followed by heights.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of heights. Snakes, public speaking, enclosed spaces, the fear of failing, spiders, and last is ghosts and spirits. I found it interesting. More people are afraid of public speaking than ghosts and spirits. How bad is that?
Oh, yeah. I don't think that ranks quite the same way I would.
I mean, I know how to speak in public, but I don't think I'd be so afraid that ghosts would. Oh, no. Ghosts are fine. I have to speak in front of a crowd of people, but no, the ghosts are fine. I can't imagine something like that.
No.
All right. Tell me another story. Well, no, I'll tell you what. Hold off on that, sir, because we're going to have a break coming up in just a moment here. I had something else on here, too. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But we had haunted venues, and one of the haunted venues is in Milwaukee. There are three concert venues that are haunted. The Rave in Milwaukee.
Rave Eagles Ballroom. Absolutely.
It says, this place is supposedly haunted by the ghost of a little girl who was drowned in a swimming pool that's no longer in use. A dead former employee named Jack is also still hanging around. Have you heard about that?
I heard about the swimming pool, but not about Jack. I think their swimming pool is not I think it's uncovered in the basement still, but completely unused.
It's got a chill going through my body.
I've seen pictures of it. It looks super cool. I'd love to go in one day.
In that pool or the rave?
Oh, I've been to the rave before for concerts, but definitely the pool. I want to see it.
Yes, it's in Milwaukee. It's in the downtown area, the rave. I've passed it, but I never went inside before.
Oh, wow.
And now I don't plan on it.
It's a beautiful building, though.
Yeah, with little girls and Jack running around inside. All right, it's 7:15. We're talking to Rory Graves, the author of Haunted Racine. We'll talk more with Rory coming up in a moment, but first, we've got Pete Schwabba.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Oliver's comedic takes on current events are top-notch. If you want a sample size and a good laugh, check out his and Will Ferrell's funny parody of Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA. Oliver, an immigrant himself, had to take a test to become a citizen and then listen to Greenwood's song during his citizenship ceremony and thought new U.S. citizens deserved better. When he found out Greenwood charges the U.S. government $700 a year to use the song, it rubbed him the wrong way. So he is offering the new Will Ferrell version to the government for $701. Seems like a sensible price. Uma Thurman and Anthony Hopkins are teaming up with another up-and-coming actress, Phoebe Denever, for a forbidden love story called The Housekeeper. The film will be set in England at Hopkins' character's vast estate, with Thurman playing a housekeeper falling for a young woman and author who is visiting. It sounds quite steamy because Thurman and Denever are both very attractive, and even more so because there is no mention of Anthony Hopkins doing a love scene. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
The Racine Civic Center and the Legends Never Die concert series welcome Pure Soul Presents Friday, November 8th at Memorial Hall. Pure Soul Presents is a tribute to 60s Motown and 70s Soul, the music that defined a generation.
So good! So good!
Pure Soul Presents proves that rhythm and romance never go out of style. Tickets for Pure Soul Presents Friday, November 8th at Memorial Hall are on sale now at the events page of festivalpark.com.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Hungry for the freshest and most delicious sandwiches? Lee's Deli has you covered. Serving Racine for over 50 years, every bite is delightful. Hot ham and cheese, Reuben, meatball sub, turkey and cheese. Lee's Deli will leave you not just full, but fully satisfied. Check out the brand new online ordering system at leesdeliracine.com for pickup and delivery options. Also, stop in the shop on Washington Avenue for the new Lee's Loyalty Program. Start reaping the tasty rewards at Lee's Deli and Racine, open 7 days a week.
It's quiz time. Here's your first question. Which senator joined the extreme left in Washington, D.C. to send COVID relief checks to prisoners, including the Boston Marathon bomber? Answer, Tammy Baldwin. Who backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin? Once again, Tammy Baldwin. Next question. Which senator even supported castration and mastectomies for minors? Time's up. It does sound crazy, but that was Tammy Baldwin again. Over and over, Baldwin has sided with the extreme left in D.C. Baldwin is for they, them, not you. And now for our final answer. It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Something sounds different on WRJN. We're refreshing hometown radio with local news and timeless hits. Our on-air host will keep you up to date with local, state, and national news every hour, along with Mike Clemens Sports and, of course, the local weather forecast. Then Don Rosen, Cindy Huber, and Kurt Bowman will talk about what's happening right here in our city, county, and state while spinning those timeless hits that are so much fun to hear again. You can hear our Civic Media talk shows on 540 AM WAUK or on the Civic Media app. You can hear WRJN on 99.9 FM, 98.1 FM, and on our historic AM frequency, 1400 AM. Local news, timeless hits.
WRJN. It's 720 at WRJN. Rory Graves, my guest. He wrote Haunted Racine. Give us another scary story from the book.
All right. So today I brought along the one from the Ivanhoe. Are you familiar with
Yes, I've been there many times.
Fantastic food there. I love it. It was originally built as a tavern in the 1890s, 1899. Actually, 1890 specifically for that one.
And it's right on Main Street there.
Yeah, right on the corner of Main and State.
Right.
And this, it looks like it's an old tavern. It doesn't look like that building's ever been used for anything else. As it turns out, it pretty much hasn't. It was tavern straight to restaurant back to tavern again, and now it's, you know, a combination of both. But the history is not as interesting as the ghost stories are with this one. There is apparently a woman who haunts the Ivanhoe, and a lot of people have seen her around. They call her the Lady of the Saloon. People think she might be the ghost of an escort who passed away there. As, believe it or not, State Street, especially right by downtown, did have a couple of unsavory brothels in the early 1890s of Racine. 1880s, too. It's kind of hard to find those, but you can see in newspaper articles every once in a while people get busted for running them. And because Ivanhoe was a boarding house and a bar, there's reasonable suspicion that it may have been one of them. But a lot of the employees have seen this ghost. Just, if you're familiar with the restaurant, you walk in just up a tiny set of stairs through the entryway, and if you look straight back on the left past the dining room, there's a staircase which leads upstairs. That's an apartment now, but that used to be where the boarding would have been. And people have seen out of the corner of their eye a woman descending that staircase. I think I talked to at least three or four people who have seen her, too. She just appears as this misty white lady floating down the stairs. And every time she comes, people get the creeps and they feel like they're being watched. And then they look over, see it for a split second, and then it's gone.
You know, I had one haunted story near me. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, all the kids in the neighborhood, we saw this house. Now, it was the back of the house, but you saw it through, when you were walking down the street, you had to look through someone else's yard to see it, and it was the house on the other block, but it was the back of the house. Yeah. It was an old woman's hand in the window, and that's all it was. It was just an old woman's hand, and all the kids were talking about it. Now, we didn't want to go into the other person's backyard because we knew we'd get in trouble if you go into mm-hmm. people's property, especially when you have like 12 kids with you, you know, if you're doing it by yourself. So this hand was there, and we were all talking about it that day. And I told my father, there's a hand. It's an old woman's hand. It's a grandma's hand in the window. He goes, what window? And I told him where it was. So we're going out to dinner that night, and my father took a U-turn, and he said, I'm going to go look at this hand that mm-hmm. you claim it's a hand. And we would pull up, and I said, there it is. There's the old woman's hand. And my father took me by the hand. He dragged me into the person's yard. We went up to the window. It was a flower in a flower pot. Oh. Well, I could have sworn it was a woman's hand.
Yeah. Sometimes the brain plays tricks on us.
Well, the kids in the neighborhood did, too.
Yeah.
And when I told him it was just a flower in a flower pot, he said, no, it's a woman. I said, my father took me up to the window. and I saw it from my, but from the distance, it looked like a grandma hand in the window.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what kind of flower that would be.
I don't know. I was about, well, how old was I? 8 years old. What am I? 7 years old. It was kind of dopey then. All right, let's talk about horror movies for a second here.
Yeah.
Before we get to more ghost stories. And we'll tell people how you can get the book Haunted Racine. Not even Haunted Wisconsin. Haunted Racine. We're just staying within the city limits here. You said you like William Castle movies.
Oh,
by the
yeah.
way, House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price is on tomorrow on Turner Classic Movies.
I know what I'm watching tomorrow night.
Yeah, I have the DVD, but yeah, that's the that's the best of the two versions of it. The Vincent Price version.
Absolutely. It's really,
you got to remember, it's 1958, 59, and you got to remember that they give people $10,000 if they'll stay in this house over $10,000 today. I'm not going to risk my life for $10,000. But back in 58, it was a lot of money. It's a good movie. Very scary. Are these were the, I guess, Rotten Tomatoes put together a list of the best horror movies. Number 10, A Quiet Place. That was a good movie. That was,
yeah, that was pretty good.
The Invisible Man from 2020. That's the one with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
Night of the Hunter. Nesferatu, this is the original from 1922. Ooh. They said the guy who played Nesferatu was a real vampire in the film. He said he practiced being a vampire.
Huh.
And they used him in the film.
Method acting.
I forget what his name was. King Kong from 1933, the original. Alien. Ooh. Us. Have you ever seen Us?
Yes, I have.
The Jordan Peele movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's very good at this stuff. The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari from 1919.
That is a good one.
When I was in film school in college, we had to watch that movie. It's very good. Get Out. That we watched that over and over. That's another Jordan Peele movie.
That one is fantastic. Probably my favorite.
We watched that over and over. Never get tired of watching it. And number one, you can't get more classic than Alfred Hitchcock and Psycho,
ooh,
which is also on TV on coming up this week on Turner Classic Movies. I like the description. A woman is on the run. She stops at a hotel with 12 rooms and 12 showers.
Oh, somebody's got a sense of humor.
Here's a little trivia in that film. At the end, when Norman Bates is in the police station in a room, the cop that opens the door and then shuts the door is Ted Knight from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ted Baxter.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's him. Rory Graves is here, author of Haunted Racine. We've got some more ghost stories coming up for you right here at WRJN Local News and Timeless Hits. But first, we've got Paul Harvey.
The rest of the story. Dick ran straight into a door. Ran straight into a door, knocked himself out cold. Nobody could revive him. 10 minutes and he was still out cold. Half an hour. Then an hour. And he remained unconscious. Now doctors have gathered around him. He's still alive. He's still breathing, they said. Just don't move him, they said. And aside from life and death, there was another profound consideration. The show must go on. In this case, a television show. Rehearsing for it, Dick had run smack into that, what was supposed to have been, a breakaway door. Now he was hurt, apparently seriously, and Dick was the star. With 90 minutes to airtime, live airtime, the doctors insisted that even if Dick were to revive immediately, he must not be permitted to perform. Live television now. No option to broadcast a rerun. So either a substitute for the show's star would be found, or in an hour and a half, millions of television sets across the country would go dark. Well, somebody on the staff remembered a co-worker, sort of an office clown, a funny fellow, always cracking jokes and doing routines for the other staff members. Maybe he'd be a good last-minute fill-in. Producers shook their heads. Clowning around the office was one thing, but big-time, prime-time network television, that was quite another. But what choice had they? It was an emergency. Okay, where was this funny staffer? Home, probably. So somebody called him. Indeed, he was home. He was watching television. The young man was aghast. Do the show in front of the cameras, he said, in front of millions of people? Don't think, he was told. Just get to the studio. So the young man jumped in his car, sped off on the 60-mile journey. He was greeted by pandemonium. What are you going to do, executives demanded. The young man was trembling. He shrugged. How is Dick, he asked. Executives reported that Dick was still groggy, but coming around. He'd been out for more than 2 hours. Can't do the show, though, they said. It's all in your hands. So, with 20 minutes to air, they got him into makeup. then shoved him out there in front of the cameras and the millions of viewers. And what do you know? The office clown did fine. Nobody knew what he was going to do, but when he did it, the studio audience and the nation laughed. There was a spontaneous, humorous lecture on the economics of television. Brilliant. Better than anybody had dared anticipate. In fact, the network decided to give the last-minute substitute his own show. And that happy ending continued for many decades. Dick, comedy's great Richard Skelton, Red Skelton, he fully recovered, of course, but the world of comedy has this one thing more for which to thank him, the subsequent career of a 28-year-old office clown whose big break eventually led him into the brightest spotlight of them all. Of course, you remember Red Skelton. And you remember Red Skelton's young writer also. Now you remember him with laughter through tears. For he was Johnny Carson. Only now you know the rest of the story.
Hey, you want to hear another rest of the story? A different one? 12:05 this afternoon with Cindy Huber. She'll have another rest of the story from Paul Harvey. To learn how your business can be a sponsor of one of the most popular shows ever to air on WRJN, call us during business hours, 262-634-3311, 262-634-3311. It could be one of four category exclusive businesses to sponsor Paul Harvey. And the rest of the story. It's 7:31. It's news time. Let's check news now. Here's Stuart.
From the WRJN Radio Park newsroom, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. For the second time in a week, the person seeking to be second in command spoke to supporters at Racine's Memorial Hall. There were similarities with Senator J.D. Vance last night doing the same as Governor Tim Walz, encouraging people to vote early. The differences were in the closing messages of the campaign.
Donald Trump and I want to be president of the whole United States of America. Even if you voted the wrong way or will vote the wrong way in 8 days, we're still going to fight for you and we're still going to fight for your interests.
Vance reiterated a Trump plan to make housing affordable, to eliminate taxes on Social Security, and to deport those in the country illegally. Governor Walz spent part of his Monday in Waukesha getting to know Mayor Sean Riley. He's a former Republican that's endorsed the Harris-Walz ticket. Vice President Harris and President Trump are in the state tomorrow. Former President Bill Clinton's in Milwaukee Thursday. Trump rallies in Milwaukee Friday night. Racine police are investigating a shooting that left a 24-year-old man critically injured early Sunday. Police say it happened after an altercation on Wolf Street near Maine. The victim, who suffered multiple gunshot wounds, was first taken to a local hospital before being flown to Milwaukee for further treatment. A person of interest has been identified. It was in Kenosha that a new statewide student effort was announced. Brittany Merlot has more.
Wisconsin State Superintendent is proposing free meals for all students. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underly announced the proposal Friday. With the universal free meals proposal, all Wisconsin students would have access to a nutritious breakfast and lunch for free. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction says 1 in 4 Wisconsin high school students reported hunger due to the lack of food in their home.
And an animal that had been at the Racine Zoo since 1986 has died. The Racine Zoo has announced the passing of Ewell, a 58-year-old gibbon. Ewell far exceeded the typical life expectancy for his species, leaving behind 6 daughters, including Robin. Zoo officials say they made the difficult decision to euthanize Ewell earlier this month due to a progressive health decline. And that's news on WRJN. I'm Stuart J. Waddles. News at the top and bottom of the hour or anytime at WRJN.com.
The clock is ticking. The election just days away and the markets are paying attention to it. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Tuesday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Some markets reacting more than others when it comes to the potential for the election. Details on that next. Spain and Portugal. That's where we're headed next. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yankee inviting you to join us April 5th through the 17th for our Ranches and Royal Palaces tour. We'll start in Portugal, where we'll visit a stud farm and witness the process of creating cork. Then on to Spain, where we'll visit an Iberian pig farm and an olive grove. Find out more at holidayvacations.com, keyword Pam, for more information and to watch a travel show. Or call 888-557-1024 brochure. Greg McBride is a broker with Allendale Trade Service. He says right now the fact is that they're seeing a little early activity in the grain market because of next week's election. On the flip side, he said livestock, that's sitting still right now. But he said depending on consumers' reaction to the election, that could change too.
Yeah, we have. We started out the year with very good pork demand, and that's kind of waned off a little bit there for a while. It's come back a little bit, but the last couple of weeks haven't been so good. Beef demand just kind of plods along pretty well, but overall, domestic usage has been very good for bulls to go here. Now, that could change. Obviously, you could see something happen after this election. That's the big wild card over the next week and the next couple of months as we prepare for a brand new president, regardless of which side wins.
That's Greg McBride, a commodity broker with Allendale. He says theoretically the current election cycle should all be over next week, but he said in reality when it comes to international trade, we could see the markets ripple after Tuesday's results for weeks. Markets and overnight electronic trade this morning, I'm happy to report, are a little stronger. Numbers are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
Yesterday, barrel and block cheese were both unchanged, while AA butter dropped to $2.67.5 per pound this morning. December corn is up to at $4.13. November beans up a nickel at $9.79. December wheat's unchanged at $5.59, and so is the March contract. Currently, November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 9, 20, 22, 100 weight. There's your quick snapshot of where the numbers stand on a Tuesday morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
It is going to be warm and windy today with near record highs in the upper 70s this afternoon. The wind will be out of the south gusting to between 30 and 40. Tonight, 66. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with falling temperatures and a chance of thunderstorms late tomorrow into tomorrow night. We'll drop into the upper 60s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
I am going to talk a fair amount about having kids tonight, and I appreciate that not everyone here is a parent. We do have a pretty cool consolation prize for you, which is this. At the end of the night, you all get to go back to a home where no kids live. So that's pretty great. You can go binge a show, whatever that means. Binging a show. My wife and I are so tired. Not only do we not binge shows, I would describe the way we watch television as microdosing. We watch 10 minutes of an episode at a time. My wife falls asleep after the first 5 minutes, but I'm not allowed to turn it off because the sudden drop in volume will wake her up. So I just have to slowly bring down the volume, continuing to watch while the characters just get quieter and quieter, which I think is what it's like to watch TV when you're having a stroke. And then the next night, I have to go back and watch those 5 minutes again. I start with that. Basically, what I'm saying is for us to finish an episode of television takes like 3.5 months.
And Rory Graves, my guest, the author of Haunted Racine. How do you get the book?
You can buy it at our local Barnes & Noble, Amazon, as well as Racine Heritage Museum and Racine Art Museum. Those are 4 locations, always there. There's also an ebook version now for people who don't like reading physical copies. So that's pretty nice. That's only available through Amazon.
Give us another story.
All right. I'll actually continue with that one from Ivanhoe, because there was a particular incident one of the bartenders had there. He arrived 6:30 in the morning, because it is a restaurant, so you do got to get some stuff prepared. And he was going to come there to watch a soccer match that he did not have at home. And so he sat down at the bar, turned the volume on, and began to eat his breakfast, getting ready for the day. And there's a sound system in the bar where there's speakers in different corners, but he hadn't really turned any of the speakers on. And then there's a jukebox which hooks up to those speakers. And he was just sitting there quietly on his bar stool, eating McDonald's breakfast, when suddenly, at the loudest volume, Billy Idol's Eyes Without a Face started blasting.
Great song.
Oh, fantastic one. He was so startled, he fell backwards off that bar stool. And then the music stopped just as quickly as it started. And he and the bar owner went back. I don't know if he stayed after that, because I would have left. But apparently he and the bar owner went back and watched the security footage. They thought it was the funniest thing they had ever seen, but they still, to this day, cannot explain why that happened. But I would have straight up left the bar. Wouldn't have stayed at all.
Now, did I ever tell you about the House of Blood?
No.
Okay, I'm not going to give the address of the house, because it's not fair to the people who live there. But the house, originally in the 1800s, was along the river in Racine. And it was a site of many fights. People were killed in there in fights in this house. Eventually, the house was moved, and it was also a brothel, too, at the time, which didn't help the situation much.
No.
The house was moved to across the lake here in Racine. Mm-hmm. It's on Michigan Boulevard. Not going to tell you where. Mm-hmm. So I was walking my dog one day, and I knew the story, but I didn't know the details. So I walked up, and the person who lives there was very nice and stood in the driveway and told me the whole story about the House of Blood. So the house was physically moved to this new location. I didn't have the nerve to ask them, are there any ghosts from the people that were killed there? I was walking my dog. It was a nice sunny day. This person was nice enough to give me the whole story about the House of Blood. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to read more about it, the Journal Times actually did a story on the House of Blood.
Really?
Yeah, so you can look it up in the archives, I guess, if you want. The House of Blood. Imagine having, and the people who live there now say, yeah, this was the house, and the rooms are still there.
Yeah.
It was just physically moved. I don't know how they did it, but I guess in the 1800s, the early 1900s, they can physically do those kind of things. I don't know if it was haunted. One more quick story. When I was in kindergarten, it was a stormy day. I was coming home. This is the one time I actually got the bus to take us home. And the bus dropped me off in front of the neighbor's house across the street because my mother was in the garage with this woman. And they would sit on lawn chairs and watch the storm from the garage. Mm-hmm. And I went in there. And while I was sitting there, fire engines, police, ambulances, all heading down the block to the Becker house.
Oh.
And I didn't know what, you know, I'm 6 years old. What do I know? And it turns out the bus I took home, so did the little Becker girl. And she walked in, and there was her mother hanging from a rope as soon as she opened the door.
That's awful.
Could you imagine? So
no,
the little girl ran next door, and they called the police and everything else. And that was in 1960.
Ooh.
Cut to just a few years ago when I went back to visit, the B for Becker was still on the door. They never took it off. Unless the new people over the years all began with B, but the Becker B was on the door. Now, the family moved shortly after that.
Yeah.
The father and the daughter. So we never saw them again.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if I want to be in a house where somebody hanged themselves.
Yeah, I got to say, if I knew about it, that would unnerve me. I've done research on every property I've lived at, and nothing crazy has happened at mine.
Well, my house was built over 110 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if anything crazy ever happened in it. I know the craziness since I've been there, but I don't know the craziness before that. Whoa. Do you have another story you can tell us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Give us another one. This is from her book, Rory Graves' book, Haunted Racine. Tell us another one.
Speaking on haunted houses, there is one right across the lake on the edge of Maine. It's called the Hughes House. Won't say the address for privacy reasons. It's privately owned. But it was built in 1899 and owned by a few different prominent Racine citizens. But it was 1945, there was a couple, Helen Kearney and Thomas Kearney, who owned the place. And in 1945 specifically, a fire broke out in the master bedroom of this house. It's a gorgeous Queen Anne-style home. Very pretty, but the fire actually trapped Helen inside the master bedroom, which is on the main floor, and she sustained life-threatening injuries and later passed away from it. And My grandparents actually ended up buying this home much later in 1992 after it had been converted into apartments. And then they decided they were going to convert it back into a single family home. But while they were doing that, they needed the funds. So they kept the apartments and slowly worked their way from the bottom floor up to converting it. My grandfather actually passed away there after a very long illness in 2002. But the ghost stories start as far back as 1992 for this place. You can read an old Racine Journal Times article where, or 1998, where some of the tenants say they can feel presences within the home. And they hear these disembodied voices while they're there alone. One of the tenants experienced two of her cats vanishing while she lived there. They never found them. They weren't outdoor cats. She lived on the third floor. And two others unfortunately passed away from really bizarre accidents. One of them had an entire, like a big armchair fell and hit this cat. And another one, the window sill fell down onto the cat. And she obviously moved away after all of this, but she was positive that place was super haunted. My mother had these two people house sit for her while she went to New Orleans for Mardi Gras one year. Because, you know, her dad owns an apartment building, so she's going to live there for a while. And both of these guys, she did not tell either one of them anything about the weird voices and footsteps. Both of them separately experienced almost the same exact thing. And I got to interview them just like 3 years ago. And it's the same story they both told to me completely separately. One of them lives out of state now. And it started with hearing their name, just walking through the house. They would occasionally just hear it. Initially, one of them was like, probably hearing my mom's parents downstairs talking about him since he's house-sitting for her and taking care of her kitten. But that's three stories down. You realize that would be a little weird. And I don't hear anything other than my name. They both saw this little kitten who loved to follow people around, just walking through the house like it was following someone around. Occasionally it would poof up and then just run away and hiss. They thought that was pretty creepy.
Because animals sense things we don't sense.
Yeah. I found that out researching a lot of different houses in my book. Anybody who owned pets, the pets seemed to sense something was off before the people did every time.
We had an earthquake in Wisconsin. I had a parakeet. And the parakeet was going crazy in the cage. I didn't feel anything.
Mm-hmm.
But we turned on the news later on that morning, and they said there was a small earthquake felt in Wisconsin. I didn't feel it. The bird felt it.
Wow.
And
they're smart.
Banging off the cage, going in circles. They felt the earthquake. Isn't that weird?
That's crazy. Something so small, too. Parakeets are little.
Got a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk about a podcast we both like.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very spooky at times.
Oh,
mysterious,
yeah.
Podcast. My wife and I just started listening to all this. It's very scary. And this guy's a great storyteller. We'll talk about that. Oof, I get creeps thinking about this here. Haunted Racine author Rory Gray was my guest this morning. Couldn't have been a more perfect time for you to come back. And I wanted you to retell the story of the asylum.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, too. We got so much to do here. 7:48. Got goose pimples already. Local news and timeless hits at WRJN.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
The Racine Civic Center and the Legends Never Die Concert Series welcome Fleetwood Mac Tribute Act Secondhand News. Friday, November 22nd at Memorial Hall. Your spot on recreations of the Rumors era when Fleetwood Mac ruled the airwaves. Tickets for Secondhand News Friday, November 22nd at Memorial Hall are on sale now at the events page of festivalpark.com.
Fall has arrived, and Ferraro's serves up the flavors to kick off the season just right. Ferraro's is Racine's go-to for classic pizzas, crispy fried chicken, and hot sandwiches. 50 years running. Feast on the Bratwurst pizza this October. Loaded with bratwurst, a beer cheese base, sauerkraut, red onions, cheddar cheese, and topped with a savory brown mustard drizzle. Plus, check out the delicious frozen pizzas, perfect for carryout or for your next big fundraiser. Slide on by for the best pizza pie at Ferraro's. Beecham Road, just north of Taylor Avenue.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action. www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
W-R-J-N. So the first couple of years I made my own costumes, which of course suck. The ghost, the hobo, no good. Then finally, third year, begging the parents, got the Superman Halloween costume, not surprisingly. Cardboard box, cellophane top, mask included. Remember the rubber band on the back of that mask? That was a quality item there, wasn't it? That was good for about 10 seconds before it snapped out of that cheap little staple they put it in there with. You go to your first house, trick or snap, it broke, I don't believe it. Wait up, you guys, I gotta fix it. That's what kids say, they don't say wait. They say, wait up! Hey, wait up! Because when you're little, your life is up, the future is up, everything you want is up. Wait up, hold up, shut up. Mom, I'll clean up, let me stay up. Parents, of course, are just the opposite. Everything is down, just calm down. Slow down. Come down here, sit down, put that down.
That cheap little staple. Never held that rubber that rubber band on there. It never did. All right. One of the podcasts, if you really want to be scared, there's a lot of mystery. The guy's name is Mr. Ballin. I don't know why they call it that, because I don't think that's the guy's name. But
No,
that is. Oh, it is his name?
Last name.
Oh, yep. It is Mr. Ballin, because he's such a young guy.
I know.
He's Mr. Ballin. And he tells these spooky stories. And one we just heard the other day, I was coming back from Door County and we were playing them in the car and I was getting scared. And it was sunny outside. He talks about this elderly woman that always, she was losing it toward the end, and she would always call the police station and say, John, is that you? John, you remember that one?
Oh, I was listening to it last night.
Yeah, John, is that you? And the police knew her. They recognized the address. And they say, no, this is the 911 operator. It's not John. And she would keep doing this every day. Well, eventually, the woman passed away.
Mm-hmm.
But the calls kept coming. They went over her house to investigate, and they found her, what they thought was rigor mortis set into her, but it was actually just, you know, she was so cold in the house, this is where she was, and she was dead. But the calls kept coming from that exact phone. Well, eventually the house burned down to the ground. Everything was burned down, and this is the day of landlines, and the phone calls kept coming from that phone number. So the 911 people sent the police out. Then they called the phone company, and they said, no, that phone line's completely destroyed. There's no phone number associated with it. But the phone calls kept coming in to 911.
Oh.
John, is that you? John, are you there? She was long dead. The phone line was dead. Mm-hmm. But he kept coming in with that number to that address, and they were never able to explain it.
That gives me goosebumps.
Doesn't it?
It's one of those classic stories. It's just so good.
One more he told about a theater, one of these old movie palaces, mm-hmm. I guess the city bought it, the preservation people, and they had police in there at night doing security. And they would see all these apparitions. They would hear things that couldn't possibly have heard, like the bathroom door slamming, which couldn't be because it had hydraulics. And, those hydraulics shut. You mm-hmm. can't slam the door. Eventually, one by one, all the police officers quit and said, if I have to go back there, I'll quit the four. I won't go back. And they all quit. So one of them got reassigned.
Mm-hmm.
But they said they would see things in there, in this old theater. And there were stories about somebody who was killed in the theater. Ooh. In a fire.
Yeah.
And they saw one of the apparitions there with a hood and a burned face. And three people saw it, and they would not step back in that theater after seeing all this going on.
Yeah, I don't know if I would or not.
Never. Well, and they worked at night, which was worse.
Yeah.
And the theater was dark, and they had cameras, but the city installed new cameras so they could see in the dark mm-hmm. with the night scopes. And they still, to this day, never found out what was going on in that theater.
Mm.
I know.
They got to call in the Ghostbusters.
We had, what's his name in there? Ron Helmick was there.
Yeah.
He has a little Ghostbusters thing. He was walking around the building seeing if he could find any spirits. Did that paranormal thing, was that held yet?
No, that's going to be this Saturday.
I know. It's called Paracon.
Yep. Bell City Paracon, Saturday, November 2nd. It starts at 10 a.m. and it's going to be held at the Danish Brotherhood on Sheridan Road, just a few miles down from where Racine's.
And the money goes to charity, you said?
Yeah. We're donating this year's proceeds to Fourth Fest for 4th of July. And there's going to be a raffle, and the proceeds of that raffle are going to go to the Danish Brotherhood themselves.
I was looking at your earrings there. They're not skeletons, are they?
Oh, yeah, little skeleton cats.
Oh, they are skeleton cats. I thought it was a cat, but I thought it was a skeleton cat. Of course you're going to wear something like that.
It's Halloween.
We got a few minutes here. Give us, now, first of all, the book, Haunted Racine, is actually divided into four sections. You said Haunted Downtown,
mm-hmm.
Legends of the Lakefront,
yep.
The Southside Sanatoriums,
mm-hmm.
and other frights of Racine County. Oh, you actually go into the county. That's good. All right, give us the asylum story again, because this one really spooked me. I don't want to give all the stories. You got to save some for people to buy the book.
Oh, yeah.
But the asylum story, I can relate to a little bit because I know the area.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us the asylum story. We got about 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah. So everyone's familiar with Regency Mall. That site, the old Kmart especially, actually used to be where Racine County Insane Asylum was built in 1889. And originally it was just for people who were disabled, but they expanded and also built a poor farm on the area, which is exactly as crappy as it sounds, a place for poor people to stay, but they also had to work while they were there. Kind of like a Victorian era homeless shelter. And between the two of them, people would occasionally pass away. The asylum was well known for not being a very nice place to stay. Poor farm, obviously, not that great. But they had a cemetery, which is now where Pritchard Park is. Right next to the Target, actually, right where that new athletic field is, too. They do still have some of the tombstones out there, but this cemetery fell into disrepair a lot. And people were getting upset. They were going to move the bodies, but they never did. And there was these tunnels that ran under the asylums as well, where they would take the bodies to the barn and then out to the cemetery. That barn no longer stands there, obviously. But people in the mall, in businesses surrounding the mall, and the old Kmart have all told stories about disembodied voices, ugh, strange music playing, kids running through the mall after hours when it's closed. And, ooh, just gives me the chills.
The book is Haunted Racine, and you buy the book how, Rory?
Barnes & Noble, Amazon. There's also a digital copy on Amazon as well. and Racine Heritage Museum, Racine Art Museum.
We just touched on a couple of the stories. There are a lot more in the book. Haunted Racine, the author Rory Graves. What a great name for a Haunted Racine author, Rory Graves. All right, so you can buy the book, and I'm going to try to podcast this so in case you missed any of it. You'll be able to hear the first interview last week and this one as well. We'll get those on the podcast. Thank you, Rory.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I got to turn on all the lights in the building now. I'm not going to walk through this dark building. All right, it's 8 o'clock on the noggin. Let's check news, okay? Let's do it.
Local news and timeless hits, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm